This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Welcome to this episode of Fairways and Greens. I'm your host, Gaylord Rhodes, the Vegas golf coach. And after 30 years as a golf professional, teacher, and coach, I decided it was time to share the knowledge and insights into the world of golf that I have gathered during my career as a golf professional. And joining me each episode will be a special guest from the golf industry. Together we will discuss and share their insights, expertise, knowledge, and stories from their career and life in golf as well. Hope you enjoy this episode, and as always, I welcome and appreciate your input and suggestions for future shows, as well as your questions. So feel free to reach out and get in touch with me, the Vegas Golf Coach, by emailing me at info@golfcoachpodcast.com. That's info@golfcoachpodcast.com. Reach out and let us know what's on your mind and what you're thinking about. So let's get started with today's show. I want to welcome everyone into today's episode of Fairways and Greens. And today, I am going to continue on the Endless Journey of Golf episodes, which are episodes I share with my audience about certain subjects that I've have a passion for and information that I've gathered over the last 30 plus years in the industry as a coach, teacher, director of golf, and just being in this wonderful industry for so many years. We share all sorts of things. And over the past, we've talked about putting and equipment and a lot of things on particular subjects of instruction and the golf swing. And today, honestly, I think I'm going to kind of continue on with a portion of last week's or a continuation of last week's show, which is, are you playing golf or golf swing? And, you know, I think one of the real issues is that when we practice the game of golf, are we really able to take that practice and then take your game, or a better way to describe it, and the title of today's episode is how to take your game from the range to the golf course. And in reality, it's kind of based off what I talked to you before. It's very difficult to practice on a driving range with a perfect situation, whether you're on mats or you're fortunate enough to be able to practice a lot on grass, which in some areas of the country you have seasons where you can, and I encourage you to do both. I think that having a perfect lie on a mat, there's a benefit to practicing, particularly if you have a specific thing you're practicing on. And I think one of the things we talked about was how hard it is for an individual today with all the information out there to actually try to fix his own golf swing. And although there are people capable of improving that way, it's a long, hard journey when every week you're attempting to throw another variable into your golf swing. And I think one of the things we talked about was having a good set of eyes, an instructor or a coach who literally can identify the one or two things you need to be focused on and allow you to focus on those until you accomplish and own them and understand what it feels like to make that particular motion if you're kinesthetic, or have a good visual model of what you're trying to work on. Then your time on the driving range can be very productive if it's used for that purpose. But keep in mind that you do not play golf on the driving range. And so today's discussion is going to be a continuation sort of last episode, but more focused on how to play the game, how to take your game from the range to the golf course. So now you've gotten a coach, you've got an idea what you want to work on in your golf swing, but now, you know, in truth, you know, as I always ask my students, is your goal just to hit the ball better, or is your goal to enjoy and play the game and score better? And honestly, I think ultimately deep inside, many of us think, and many of my students think, that if they can just learn to hit the ball better, they're going to play better golf. And that just isn't how it works. And, you know, if I get a student in there and I think I've accomplished what it is I want them to be focused on in their swing, and I believe they understand that, then I can take them in the next few lessons and give them some ways to practice their actual game. And a lot of it can occur around the short game practice areas where you can get different lies. But I think one of the things you have to realize is that when you get on the golf course, you're only probably going to get 18 perfectly flat lies, and that's on the tee boxes of the holes you're playing. And the rest of the time, you have to deal with the situation and the lie and the curve conditions and the wind directions and the shot at hand. I mean, the challenge of getting the ball to the next location in an effective way that allows you to score better and play better. Whether it's laying up or knocking it on the green or avoiding the hazards or avoiding the water. And all of a sudden, you know, now you're playing a golf course. And, you know, as a good mentor of mine once said, it's you against old man par. He said, forget about everyone else. Forget about everything else. It's you against old man par. You're playing this golf course and the golf course is trying to beat you. And you need to. And when I started putting it in perspective that way, when I was a younger man and began to realize, you know, it's not my buddies I'm trying to beat. It's not me I'm trying to beat. I'm trying to play this golf course, this challenging golf course, this environment that was created by the architect and the conditions and the weather, and do the best I can to score the best I can. And so, you know, some of the most satisfying rounds I've ever had nothing to do with how well I was striking the golf ball, but it was my ability to get around the golf course and get the ball in the hole in the least amount of strokes. And those are the most satisfying things in the world. I mean, I might have had a couple doubles or triples, but I still had a tremendous round because I was accomplishing the shots I wanted to accomplish, and I was leaving myself in positions where I could score. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, how to take your game from the range to the course. And over my 30 years in golf, I'm going to share with you a few books, I think, that are kind of more focused on learning the game and how to play the game than so much of the mechanics of the game. And several mentors. And I think there's three or four individuals in particular that I think really have spent a lot of time and effort in making the game more enjoyable, making you understand that there's a difference between the golf swing and the game. And my first exposure was due to the fact that I got around who I consider a genius in many, many ways, Chuck Hogan. I got a chance to spend time with Chuck. He gave me a book at that time, and we were working on his video called Aim to Win. And he was a big believer that most golfers don't know really how to aim, and that in particular in putting, there's a major dysfunctional in aiming for most people based on and eyes and putter styles. And so I went down there for this clinic on Aim to Win, specifically with putters. And he had already put out his video with Al Geiberger and his CyberVision, and it was amazing. And I played some of my best golf when I would just sit and watch his CyberVision tape of Al, Mr. 59, just swinging over and over and over as I went to bed at night. And all I would get was a rhythm and a tempo and a feel from that golf swing that I was able to take to the golf course. And all I tried to do was just emulate his feel and tempo. And I played some of my best golf at the time. And I want to thank Chuck for having such a big influence on my concept. And, you know, in the book, we were talking about children. I was working with the junior golf programs here. And he wrote a nice little note. And he says, Gaylord, keep up your great work with children, your friend Chuck Hogan. And Chuck and I spoke off and on for a while after that. He was very much getting into the concept of the golden child and how these great athletes had great upbringings and had great support from parents. And he went on to do some work in that area. But at the time, he was one of the most one of the first sports psychologist specifically for golf, and was working with Peter Jacobson and Raymond Floyd and some other great people at the time. And so I'd like to recommend Chuck's book to anyone who wants to kind of get into more of the creative aspects of golf and how the mind works and how you can apply some of the principles that he developed. And, you know, really, his theory of the golf swing was you only have to master the model of the golf swing and based on the design of the club. And the golf swing is a concept. It wasn't a bunch of individual independent things you had to do, which I thought was fascinating. And the greatest failure in his opinion, of most golf instruction, and you've got to remember this is way back in the 1980s, is the use of the human element as the basis of the swing theory. And he said the design of the golf club is the only legitimate master model for swing mechanics, and the golfer who fully grasps the intention of the club design will swing in compliance with that understanding. The body movement will symptomatically fall into place. If you understand what you're trying to do with the tool, the golf club, and understand how it was designed to work, you can pretty much just let it happen. And that to me was amazing, because I was beginning to teach full time, and I was, fundamentals and grip and stance and swing plane. And I got, but in reality, as I began to understand his concept of allowing the student to create his own balanced golf swing motion with a concept of what he's trying to do with the golf club, and that really changed everything in my concept of how to teach golf. And that was the first of many different individuals. And I know Michael Hebron came along, and Michael was an incredible innovator and had an incredible mind. And he's written many, many books. And the first one I ever got from him was See and Feel the Inside, Move the Outside. And I have one of the original copies, the big 8x10 copies. And it was his master thesis for teaching for his PGA. But See and Feel the Inside, Move the Outside was an incredible book. At the time, he was a master professional, and he was a PGA Teacher of the Year in the Met section. But, at the time, it was called A Breakthrough of Learning and Coaching Golf. And he and Chuck Hogan probably influenced my concept of teaching, and really took me to another level, to realize that each student is an individual, and that by observing them and watching them, I could learn and what basically how they worked and how their mind worked. And so I learned to learn from my students and then we would create a program that would help them get along. I think one of the biggest concepts that I got from Michael in that first book was the backswing is only a few inches long. And, it was for me to understand how simple the golf swing was in terms of treating it differently and kind of shearing the mechanics away from it and looking at an entire motion. And then, of course, Randy Henry and the Henry Griffiths people and their ability to create and build golf clubs that fit and rewarded the student's best balanced motion, and to be able to have a properly fit tool. And that was a big key. And Chuck mentioned it, and I know him, and all the great instructors know the importance of having equipment that actually rewards it. Because if the concept, as Chuck said, was to understand the golf club and how it works, then the key would be just have one that fits you, has the right length, the right loft, the right shaft for your abilities and talent level. And obviously, as you get better, equipment can be adjusted and changed. And, lie angles will change as you begin to create a better impact motion. And so the key became just trying to help my students create a simple, balanced concept of motion in their golf swing that allowed them to use the tool and swing it in the proper motion, and that in itself would allow them now to free up and go play the game. And so again, golf swing and golf game are two different things, but in the ability to get to a point in your golf swing where you're capable of hitting the golf ball and yet to spend countless hours trying to hit it better and better, thinking that's going to be really the key. If you're a decent player and you begin to hit a pattern of shots that you're not familiar with, it's just time to maybe possibly go and have your trusted coach or instructor or teacher just to take a quick look at a set of eyes to help you get back on track, give you that, see the one or two things that you've messed up. And normally they're alignment situations, setup situation, ball positions, and you let them kind of grow and spend a few weeks struggling with them, and then you begin to get on the range and try to make compensations to overcome something that's probably a very simple fix. So, and we've talked a lot about this in the golf swing, and so what I kind of wanted to do was shift away. So Obviously, for those of you who are interested, the first book I would recommend is Chuck Hogan's book, 5 Days to Golfing Excellence. And if you want a kind of and Chuck talks about his concept of how the golf club works in it. So there's a very simple, understandable explanation of the golf swing in it. And then obviously the second book would be Hebron's book, See and Feel the Inside Move the Outside, which is an original. God, it's got to be in the fifth or eighth printing now. It's a smaller book now. You can find it on Amazon. Those two books were the first two that really began to help me break through into the difference of not just teaching, but in coaching golf and helping my students learn their golf swing. And since that point in time, there's been some other great books out. I was down there with Chuck Hogan back in that time frame when I was mentioning it earlier, and I got a chance to meet Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott. They were there also working with Chuck, all down in the Phoenix area. And they've gone on with their Vision 54 and all of their work. And I think that if I was a beginning student, man, I would love to go down and work with them. And they have so many great concepts of how to teach the game and keep it more into the creative side. And so they have just put out a new book, and they have several. I mean, their Vision 54 book I've read, it's awesome. But just recently, I think as early this month, they just released another book, which I've had the pleasure of looking at. And it's called Be a Player. And I think it's like 25 books, and I'm pretty sure you can find it on Amazon. And I believe it is out for sale now. They did an excerpt from it in Golf Digest, and they also, it fascinated me when I read it, and it's a great book, and I highly recommend it. So again, it's from Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott. The book's called Be a Player. I highly recommend that. And then I'm going to mention one more book that Michael Hebron put out, and it's called Play Golf to Learn Golf. I think that book in general, gives the average person a chance to begin to realize that the technical details just tie people up, and that this book is designed to help you again give you a basic of what it is you're trying to accomplish in the golf swing, but to move on and get you playing the game. And it's just a great book. And so those four books, two from Hebron and the one from Chuck Hogan, and Chuck's got some other stuff. If you can get your hands on his Aim to Win stuff, it's awesome, incredibly awesome. And obviously there's hundreds and hundreds of books and articles and places and thousands of places you can go to get swing instruction. And if that's your deal and you're one of those technical guys, then you're going to have your hands full with that. But as far as just kind of taking a different direction, again, those books I mentioned, the 5 Days of Golfing Excellence, Two Golfing Excellence, Lynn and Pia's book, Be a Player, Hebron's book, Play to Learn, and obviously there's some other great things. And I just recently had a guest on the show, Bob Duncan, who I think has a phenomenal teaching method. And he will actually work with his students on their golf swing. But his big deal is his GPS system, his golf positioning system. And he takes his students out on the golf course. And I'll probably have Bob back on the show again in the near future. But he takes his students out on the golf course and he puts them in situations that they're only going to find on the golf course. Fairway bunker shots, side hill lies, uphill lies, and helps them understand the differences from playing golf, hitting golf shots, seeing shots, as opposed to just standing on the driving range on a perfect lie, practicing your golf swing. So if you're going to attempt to take your game from the driving range to the golf course, then your practice time needs to be set up a little differently. When I go out to warm up before a round, I'm going to take a few balls and I'm just going to look for my rhythm and balance. And I start out hitting some easy wedge shots, and all I'm trying to do is just find my rhythm and balance. And I'm also paying attention to the direction my ball's working that day. And every day when you show up at the golf course, whether you're just coming to practice or play, your body, your mind, the situations in your life create all sorts of different tension in your body and your mental attitude. And so when you come out, you know, I come out, the first thing I do is I'm just trying to find out where I am that day. Am I pushing the ball out to the right a little bit? Am I tight? You know, I'm 63 years old. It takes my body a while to loosen up. And so all I'm trying to do is try to achieve a nice, comfortable, balanced finish position. I don't want to feel like I'm pulling myself to my balance. I want to feel like my body is in control of the motion, and I'm just allowing my body to swing my arms and the club through the ball. And allowing that momentum of the body swinging the arms carry me to my finish. And so all I'm looking on is trying to find my balance that day, and just paying attention to the shot pattern that develops without trying to get too technical or mechanical about it. I'm not thinking about what I'm trying to do with the golf club in my backswing. For Christ's sakes, you do not hit the golf ball with your backswing. And if you're thinking about things on that side of your swing, you're probably not focused on what you're trying to do with the golf shot. So, which is why so many people that go out on the golf course and they're thinking about the mechanics of their golf swing, it doesn't get much better. I mean, and then they get frustrated because they've spent all this time and effort working on their game, but they're just playing golf swing out there. And we've talked about that. So, you know, get a feel for what's going on. You're going out to play golf. You don't want to sit there and panic over your golf swing. That's the last thing you want to do. So, you know, if it's possible, I'll go find maybe to the edge of the range if it's possible, and I'll find some deep grass, and I'll go in there and drop my ball in it, and I'll hit a few shots with that motion I've developed for that morning, and just to see how the club's reacting out of the high grass. I'll try to get a couple of above my, and so if that's not available in the range, I'll go over hopefully to the short game area, and I'll drop some balls down, and I'll put them in some bad lies. I'll bury a couple in the bunker, you know, and maybe I only have 10 or 15 minutes to work on it, but I'm going to get the ball above my feet, below my feet, and if I can, and just adjust to some shots. And I think, as I was talking to you earlier about Bob, and Bob takes his individuals on the golf course, and ideally, if I have a student I've been working with a while, I want them on the golf course with me a while. But fortunately, I have a couple of incredible practice areas where we can hit shots above the feet and below the feet, and we can experiment with deep grass and tight lies and bunker shots of all different types. And so, you know, now we're going to go out and play, and this is a round, an 18-hole round. We're playing with our buddies, so we got to kind of play legitimate golf. But just that would be the warm-up I would think you would probably want to kind of focus on before you went to play a round with your buddies. But let's just say you have the opportunity to go play a practice round where you're really not keeping score. You don't have your bets going. It's not your Sunday morning or Friday afternoon or whatever day round it is where your group, your guys, where it's the guys going out to play. But when you get a chance, and I hope you do, to get out and play on your own and practice a little bit, I would highly recommend some of these concepts. And I think a great, you know, book would be to get Pia and Lynn's book on being a player. They have some great concepts of, and I'll share a few of them with you. But these are some of the things I've been doing with my kids. And I do get a chance, fortunately, to get my high school kids out after school. We'll go out, and it's quiet, and the country club is very quiet in the evenings, and I can get out and do some work with them. And so we do some fun games. And so, you know, they get so wound up in the golf swing, and that, you know, they're playing the tips, and they do the same thing every time they go out. So I mix it up with them. You know, I say, okay, today we're not going to hit any woods today, okay? And we're going to play from the tips, and the longest club you can get is your 4-iron or your 4-hybrid. That's it, okay? And you can only use your even-numbered clubs. And so we'll go out, and we'll play the front nine, and it'll be from the tips, nothing longer than a 4-hybrid, and we play the golf course, and they can use only their even-numbered clubs. For instance, the pitching wedge, 8 iron, and 6 iron, okay, and 4 hybrid or 4 iron, whatever they carry. And those are the only clubs they can use. No woods, that's it, and they can use their putter. And so, you know, they've got to choose. Do you want to use the sand wedge, 4 clubs? And we want them to get out there and play golf. And so we do it, and I do it with them. And it is the most incredible experience for these kids. And honestly, for me, it makes me such a better player because now, you know, we have to hit shots. You're very rarely on the number. So now you've got this 150-yard shot. Well, you've got an 8-iron and a 6-iron, and maybe that shot's your 150 club. But now I have to figure out, do I flight down the 8-iron or do I take something off the 6-iron? How do I play this shot? And we also, we don't allow range finders. We would allow, you know, we do have markers. So we have, we can see what the middle of the green is, okay? And so I try to get them away from this exact yardage all the time so that it instills the ability to think, well, I could hit 4 or 5 clubs. I mean, I think Hogan at one point, and there was a great Facebook quote from Hogan about, I don't want to know what the distance is. I can hit 7 different clubs that yardage or something to that effect. And truthfully, you know, depending on the wind and the environment, a 150-yard shot could be anywhere from a pitching wedge to a 6-iron. And so by playing with 4 clubs and playing from the tips with no woods, the longest club you can have is a 4-iron or 4-hybrid, whatever you have, and that's your choice. And so you've got to play. So now all of a sudden you've got a 420-yard hole and you hit a 4-hybrid off the tee, maybe 220. These kids can still bust it. But now they still have over 200 yards in. So now they've got to, if they can't reach the green, for instance, now they've got to figure out, where do I want to lay this up to give me the best angle in the pin? So think they're playing in a real tournament and they hit driver off into the trees and they have to punch out. And they're pretty much in the same situation. If they can reach the green, so be it. Is it the best shot to hit? And so we think about, how can I get the best score on this hole under the circumstances I've just created for myself? So the 4-club rule is from the tips is really a fun thing to do. So we'll do that maybe on the front side. And then we get to the back side if we're playing 18. And now we have a little different strategy. Now we move up to the ladies' tees. And now we play the golf course with the opposite clubs we chose before. If we went with the even clubs, the 4 even clubs, now we go to the 4 odd clubs and we play the backside, still no woods. Now we're playing from the front tees. Now it's a completely different experience for them. Now it's all about finesse. Most of these kids can knock it up there pretty close. So now they're going to be kind of maybe in the normal range they might be if they were hitting driver from the back tees, maybe a little further back, maybe a little closer depending on the hole. And now they're in a different area. You know, I see, and one of the reasons we do this is when you're a fairly decent player, as some of my high school kids are, you know, they hit it in the same areas a lot. And the game becomes, you know, driver 7-iron, driver 8-iron, driver wedge. And they just get in these routines where it's like they're not thinking anymore. And this requires concentration. It requires reacting to the target, the situation, and it teaches them course management. And so if you really want to take your game from the range to the golf course, then you need to play games on the golf course because it's a game. You know, you it's hard to play games on the driving range, although we do that. I mean, if all I have is an hour with them that day, after a few 10, 15 minutes of warm-up, I'm having them go, okay, flight this down to that flag with this club. Flight this over here. So I'm making them remain creative on the driving range. So if you really can't get out on the golf course to do these kind of things, then I would highly suggest that you spend 15, 20 minutes on your motion, and then you begin to start hitting shots. Hit a low draw, hit a high fade, you know, and then when they miss it, I go, why do you think you missed that shot? And I'm always asking and questioning them because I want them to own their swing. I want to know. So, you know, after 10 or 15 minutes, I go, so why do you think you're missing it over there today? And if they have it and understand it, which I hope they do at this point, then I say, we'll fix it. And then I'll just kind of walk away and let them fix it. And if they can't fix it, then I'll come back and make a suggestion possibly. But for them to own their own golf swing is what's important. I mean, they're going to be out on the golf course by themselves. And if they start hitting the ball a little offline and they don't know why they're doing it, it could be a very frustrating day for them. So, you know, I play shots. Don't just stand on the range and hit golf balls. That's not what it's all about. I got a chance to see portions of Pia's book in Golf Digest, Pia and Lynn's book. And just a fascinating book. And they do a lot of the same thing. So, you know, just to give you a little background, their Vision 54 programs, which I highly recommend if you can get a chance to get down there and work with them. And the players that come to it are looking for help with the mental skills. But they also get a heightened awareness of their games, I think. And I think it's really important to, you know, your physical state's constantly changing in this game and from round to round and shot to shot. And so, you know, they have a great program to help you create and maintain a performance state that allows you to, you know, access your peak athletic ability no matter what you're feeling that day. And I think that's a kudos to them. It's an amazing program. I believe if you work on balanced tempo and rhythm and reducing tension, and I love it when they were on the Golf Channel recently and they put a potato chip between their teeth and most of us would just bite through the potato chip, but to teach you just to stay relaxed and keep your facial muscles, it's a huge thing for me because I'm a grinder. You know, I grind my teeth, I grit, and several years ago when I first saw them using that drill with the potato chip between the teeth, it revolutionized me. Now I kind of use chewing gum, but it helps me focus on keeping the tension out of my neck and face muscles, and it allows me to free up my arms and you know, I define the arms from the elbow down. And if you can maintain soft, then it allows the body to load and unload the arms and to swing them through to through impact. And I think some of the things I think, but you know, in terms of balance, okay, if you're on the range, I would hit full shots with your feet together and you know, and maybe go out on the golf course and play a few holes with your feet together on every shot. And you know, just working on what it feels like to do that. And, you know, I believe that, you know, if you work on tempo, and I know Davis Love used to have his son, Davis Love III, make full swings with his driver at half speed. And that's a very tough thing, but if you can make full swings 50% slower than your normal tempo and make good solid contact and have a good solid balanced finish, then you're beginning to learn how to control your entire body's balance and motion. And I think that's a huge thing. And I also believe that, and this is something they also mention in their book, that holding your finished position is very, very important. And I see a lot of my kids and they hit a bad, they're always striving to hit a balanced finished position. And I always tell my students, work on your finished position. You know, I think that if you can learn to hit shots, and this would go kind of again with tempo, but if you can learn to hit shots at you know, 50%, 75% of your speed, you know, I tend to try to get my students to have a nice solid 80, 85% balanced motion for 90% of their shots. Always knowing they can back that off a little bit, take a little off the club, or they can maintain that same tempo and just grip down on it a little bit to hit an in-between shot. But I just think that being able to control your balance, tempo, and is so, so good. And, you know, I would, you know, I really advocate, you know, getting out there and playing games on the golf course when you have that opportunity. I know we get in our groups and we go and the kids go out and play in their high school events and everything. But in between, you know, I think, you know, keeping it fun, realizing it's a game, you know, you're just playing the golf course in reality. And if you focus on you trying to beat the golf course, I think everything else falls in place. Too many of my kids get too involved in what the kids around them are doing. They know who the better players are, and they're keeping an eye on them, and they, you know, they suddenly get a few shots behind, and they start to just concentrate on trying to beat this other guy, and all of a sudden everything becomes a competition rather than a relaxed, creative experience of playing the golf course. And so, again, I just wanted to share some insights today into a variety of different concepts. And if you're out there and you're interested, you know, I do these kind of things. I actually literally have an indoor facility where I can create a lot of these situations. But more importantly, to be able to take you out and you know, drop balls around the greens. I know that Cameron used to take Jordan out when he was younger, and he would take him out on the golf course and throw balls all over the place and challenge him to get him up and down. And I encourage all of my students to work on all the different shots around the green. And I spend a lot more time, I think, with the teaching them the options and the different variations of shots you can hit around the green. I try to get them that, you know, it's a lot of the high school kids that they just bomb it as hard as they can. And I'm not going to encourage them not to try to hit it hard. But I also want them to be able to understand that you can navigate around the golf course, particularly if you hit bad shots. You don't have to try to hit some shot out of the trees from with no angle at the green and try to hit. And, you know, they're looking, how far is it, coach? Well, it's 175 yards. And they're taking their 180-yard club and trying to hit an impossible shot. And then they end up making double or triple. And, you know, I said, dude, you could have punched out 50 yards out with a perfect angle of the pin, knocked it up there and made par, and instead, what'd you make? And they kind of grumble and made a triple because they bounced it off the trees that had no angle for the third shot. Then they knocked it in the bunker on the fourth shot from a bad position and ended up blasting it out and make triple or double, and that's very common. And I just would encourage everyone to learn to enjoy the game and the creative aspect of it, and not get so wound up in the golf swing. Because most of the time when I ask my students when they come in and they've come back, and so what's been going on? He says, gosh, I just haven't been playing very well. My swing's horrible. I'm hitting it. I'm hooking it. I'm thinking, okay, well, we'll take a look at that. But, you know, my main question is, what are you thinking about when you're on the golf course? Well, I'm trying to, you know, I'm feeling like I have the club behind me, or I'm stuck, and I go, dude, you do not play this game thinking about your golf swing. You need to focus, and it's hard. I mean, when they're starting to struggle and they're warming up and they're watching the ball and they're freaked out because they see the ball and they're literally trying to fix their golf swing 10 minutes before they go play golf. It's not going to be a fun round, and we're all guilty of that. And so if there was anything I would like to close this show out with you today, it would be simply this. If you feel like you're struggling with your golf swing, that's one thing. But if you're not happy and you have a 10 or 15 shot range in your game, that means there's something going on the golf course that's not allowing you to reach your potential. And I would say most of the time when you analyze it, it's going to be you're thinking about your golf swing rather than just playing the game. And I play with some wonderful people that don't take golf lessons, and they, you know, they kind of play a lot and they get in a groove, and, you know, and they can cover their handicap quite a bit. I mean, it might be a 20 handicapper, but man, he shoots 85, you know. And anytime he breaks 90, he's like, but he's paying attention. I watched him. I mean, I it's one guy in particular that I play a lot of golf with, and he's got his own unique swing, but he figures out that, hey, if I can chip and putt and I can keep it in play, and I can beat a lot of people. And, you know, his handicap's creeping down now below 20 because we had a talk, and he just decided he was going to play golf and not worry about trying to fix his golf swing, which probably at his age isn't going to ever happen. So, you know, but when you play 3-4 times a week, things start to change if you put your focus on playing And I mean, I've, you know, he makes a 7 or an 8 every now and then because he just hits a shot that's kind of out of the ordinary because he has a very unorthodox swing. But it doesn't matter. He comes back and makes 3 or 4 pars in a row and he's right back into it. So just keep in mind one thing. Golf swing is not golf game. We've talked about that. But in reality, you know, if you want to play better golf, you've got to be able to take your game from the range and switch it off and play the game. And so that was my podcast for this week. I hope it makes sense to a lot of you. Again, great books out there to help you with the actual game, you know, how to play the game. And I would always encourage you, since there's so much information on instruction today, but follow. I saw Sean Foley talking about how there's so many players now that have great golf swings that really can't break par. And it's because they play golf swing. They're not on the golf course. And one of the things, and I'll close with this, I was listening to Sean. I thought it was a tremendous article for him. And, you know, I thought that, you know, some of the things he said were amazing. And he said, you know, play from the front tees, duh. You know, play from the tips with no woods. You know, play the golf courses backwards. You know, these pros have access to do that. And I know not all of us as amateurs, you know, with green fees and the golf courses being the way they are. But anytime you have an opportunity to go out, just even if it's with your buddy, say, hey, let's play with 4 clubs today. You know, let's play with 5. Go out late in the afternoon. We've got plenty of daylight now when the courses are quiet, you know. And get off the mats and get off the driving range. If you want to work on swing mechanics, you know, a perfect lie on the driving range is fine. But if you want to work on shots, you need to simulate what you're going to encounter on the golf course. No two lies are the same. Tall grass, short grass, uphill, downhill, side hill. These are things you're going to encounter all over the golf course, you know. And if all you know is flat lie, you're not even going to know how to adjust the stance or allow for the ball to move in a different direction. And so, again, you know, find a guy like Bubba Duncan up in Oregon or come and see me or find someone who can help you with your game. And sadly, in closing, I will say this. I have all these new students come in all the time, and I always ask them, so what is your goal? I mean, do you want to hit it more consistent or do you want to play better and have more fun on the golf course? And if they say, well, I want to hit it more consistent, I go, okay. I always ask them this, are you going to play better if you hit it more consistent? And most 9 times out of 10, they think they are. And, you know, the potential for that to happen is there, but not unless they practice the game. And so, again, be careful with where you spend your time. If your goal is to hit the ball more consistently, go find a coach. Go find an instructor that can help you with that. But put that in perspective when you work on it. And remember, on the days that you go to play golf, you should not be working on your golf swing. You should be working on rhythm, tempo, feel, balance, just getting a feel for where you are that day so that you can go out and then react to the golf course, react to the conditions at hand. Think smart. Don't just always take the club that's going to get you to the middle of the green. Think about the consequences if you miss it, which most of us aren't going to flush very many shots around. It's just the truth. Hogan used to say if he hit 5 shots around the way he wanted to, it was a great round. And so if one of the best ball strikers in the world only hit it flush 5 times, what do you think our odds are? And so play smart. Play to the back yardages of the greens. So if you miss a little bit, you still get on the front of the green. You got to putt at it and rather than in the front bunker or short and short-sighted. And by all means, practice your short game. Practice with all different clubs. Don't just rely on your sand wedge or your 60-degree wedge around the greens. Go out and experiment with other clubs. There's easier shots than hitting flop shots. And is it really necessary? Have you practiced it enough to pull it off? Be realistic when you're on the golf course. I always love the golfers who come in and say, I want to play the game better. And I said, well, let's see what's going on. Let's find one thing in your swing you can focus on for the next month, and then let's go out and work on your game. And that, to me, is the students and the people that I think will get the most out of this. And I think as golf instructors and coaches, I encourage all my listeners who are to make sure you work on your players and your students' games, and get them enjoying the game more, because that's gonna keep them in there with us. And for that, I'd like to say thanks for all my listeners for coming in. This is the Vegas Golf Coach saying, hey, fairways and greens. Well, folks, it's time to say goodbye to this episode of Fairways and Greens. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you would like to subscribe to the show, just head over to thegolfcoachpodcast.com. That's www.golfcoachpodcast.com. And don't forget to reach out with your questions and your input on the show to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. So reach out with your questions and anything you'd like to add or any suggestion on future shows to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. And you can find me, the Vegas Golf Coach, and a link to my blogs, coaching centers, and programs at www.vegasgolfcoach.com. That's www.vegasgolfcoach.com. So goodbye for now, and here's to finding your share of fairways and greens in your journey through life and golf.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.